This is the last Puck Culture episode before the holidays. Rupper, I'm happy to be doing it with you, celebrating the holidays.
The last one. I'm happy to be here too. Second time here. Is this the last one of 2019?
Yes, okay. Actually, now
let
that you mention
it. Let me ask you
this,
though. I don't mean to hijack your opening
No,
here.
Please hijack it. I never know what to... Can I tell you something? I never know what to say off the top. It's a weird thing.
It is kind of... Yeah, no.
But welcome to the show, everybody.
But hey, this is the way to do it, though. Just whatever comes natural, right? So when you said that, I'm going to be honest with me, Jackie. Are you the type of person where, let's say I'm at work on the 28th and you are.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to see you now till the 3rd. You know what's coming. Do you say... Hey, Rupper, see you next year. Or do you say, you know, have a happy new year? You know what I mean? I can't deal with people that are like, see you next year.
Oh, yeah, it's a bad
joke.
Okay,
buddy, settle down.
Joke.
It's like 4 days from now.
Yeah.
Can you stop? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Does that annoy you?
No, it's a total dad joke, for sure. It's a bad dad joke.
And so many people do it, though.
I don't do it, so you
good.
Won't hear that
okay,
from me.
Good.
You'll just, if this is the last day I see you before the holidays, I'm not sure what your schedule's like, but I'll just say, hey,
yeah,
have a great holiday.
Yeah,
I won't even say Happy New Year.
Right, okay, good.
I'll just say have a happy holiday.
That's good
holiday.
To know, because there's too many people that do that. It drives me crazy. It makes me literally not like New Year's. It's incredible. I have a good
next,
New Year's
can you
joke
promise
you.
Me something? The next person that says see you next year, just be like, I don't even like you.
I don't
anymore.
Do that. Can I tell you something
sure.
with the calendar real quick?
Yeah.
So this one time I was going to my phone provider, okay?
Okay.
And there was an issue with my phone.
Sure.
And I had a 30-day warranty on it. I bought the thing, say, December 14th.
Okay.
And this was back in 2000. This is actually in Jersey when this happened. It was
okay.
in 2007.
Sure.
And so I bought this phone December 14th, 2007. Something was wrong with the phone. I go in. It's January 4th. And I go in. I'm trying to deal with the guy at the counter. He's like, this isn't covered anymore. I'm like, what do you mean it's not covered? I just bought it, and I've got a manufacturer warranty. It's not covered here. We can't replace your phone. You bought this last year. And I go, no, I bought it. I bought it like a few weeks ago. And he's like, and he starts getting all spicy with me. No, you bought this in 2007. It's 2008. And I'm like,
oh my
wait,
gosh.
Are you kidding me right now?
So he couldn't put it together.
He's just seen on paper that I bought it in 2007. He's like,
he's
he thought I was trying
year.
To pull a fast one.
Oh
and I'm literally
gosh.
Like looking around at the other people in there. We're just going back and forth for a while. I'm like, can somebody help me here? Like, this
bro,
is really, like,
read the date.
I'm
the
like,
full
no,
date.
Man. It was like, you know, New Year's like, woo, like you turn the calendar. That was 4 days ago. And this was 2 weeks before that.
Yeah.
I can't deal. It makes me not like New Year's. When people say those things and
right.
then they act all weird around that time.
That guy probably says, see you next year.
Yeah, he does. He
Sounds
certainly
like he
does say,
does.
See you next year. I don't know.
What are you doing for New Year's this year?
Winter Classic. Winter Classic.
Ah, right,
so,
that's right.
Yeah.
I've done that with you the last 2 years. I'm not going this year.
That's why you don't know what I'm doing on New Year's. Because you've got
real plans.
You're home free and you can actually make real New Year's plans.
Yeah. You know what? I never was big on New Year's, but since I haven't really, I mean, we've had one. I mean, when we do the Winter Classic, we all hang out, whatever.
Yeah.
But I haven't had like a real New Year's with family and friends in a few years. So it'll
That'd
be nice
to
kind of,
yeah.
I never used to really care for it, but now that I've missed out on it, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But since we're in the holiday spirit right now, I mean, I am wearing sequins. That's when you know you're close to the holiday. I thought it would be fun to fill out a couple of holiday-themed Mad Libs.
Okay.
So we had Rupper fill these out before the show started. He hasn't seen them. Watching him try to figure out adjective after adjective was quite funny. Not an easy thing to do. Tougher than it sounds. So would you like to start out with a letter to Santa? Or selecting a Christmas tree. These are the two stories that we have.
Ooh, let's go letter to Santa.
Okay, letter to Santa. Now, for this one, we didn't make you stick to hockey terms. This is just whatever came to your mind. So here's the letter that Rupper put together, Mad Libs style. Dear Santa, my name is Todd. Quick side note, Todd is one of the producers on the show this week. He's in the control room
Todd's
right now.
Actually, though, I can't think. Todd's my dog. My dog's name's Todd. That's why I said
Todd. You have a dog named Todd.
Yeah.
Okay, so this letter's from your dog, Todd. My name is Todd, and I am 33 years old. Wow,
ooh,
that's an old dog.
It's kicking
I have
good.
17 brothers and 23 sisters.
Wow.
And a dog and a cat. So he's got sibling dogs, but he also has a pet dog and a cat. I live in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, that makes sense. When I woke up this morning, it was fast and quick outside.
Well, maybe he's running around.
Yeah. It must be much slipperier where you live in Florida.
He would speak like that, so okay.
Santa lives in Florida now. My sister said, I've been a very old boy this year, so I will ask you for 8 gifts this Christmas. I would like a car that can run and a grocery store that speaks Spanish. If you think I've been extra hungry this year, I would like a generous doctor, too. When you come down the nurse at our house on Christmas Eve, we will have cheeseburgers and Coke waiting for you. I hope you like them. We will leave out some hot dogs for the reindeer. Have a hot flight. Like that, half that doesn't make sense.
It started off strong. I'm not gonna lie. Todd actually has pretty good skills at the top.
Yes.
And then it got
a
little sloppy from there.
Okay. Mad Lib number 2. What would you rate out of 10?
Out of 10? I'll give that one a 6.
Okay, that's a 6. So here is the Selecting a Tree Mad Lib. And this one, we kind of got you to stick to some hockey-ish terms. In some cases, it's not really possible, but all right. No Christmas season can be really energetic unless you have a sweaty tree in your kitchen.
Disgusting.
If you live in a city, you will see many vacant dogs filled with hundreds of fans for sale. Okay.
All right.
If you live in the country, you can get your own puck right out of the forest.
Go out
with a coach in Edmonton, and when you see a smooth tree you like, you can dig it up and plant it in a defenseman. That's weird. Then you can use it for 99 years. To make sure your tree is fresh, shake the branches and see if the pucks fall off onto the jersey. And make sure the tree is very red. Nothing looks worse than a blue tree. Just follow these directions and you can have a perfectly beautiful tree, good job, Rupert, in your front room for weeks. Remember, poems and Mad Libs are made by fools like Jackie, but only Megan can make a tree.
That was just the opposite of Todd's letter to Santa, because it started off really rocky.
Yes,
it started off kind of strong, to be honest. You know, a red tree is better than a blue tree, correct?
That's accurate.
I did by accident call you a fool.
So I don't know if that was by accident. I mean, I think when I said name a person in the room, which was what the request was for the Mad Lib, you said, all right, well, if I'm going to look silly, you're going to look silly too.
That is true.
Jackie. So you actually accidentally on purpose.
I got it right. And I accidentally gave one of the noun was tree. And this is about
that
a tree.
That worked out.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'll give that one a seven.
That one's a little bit better than the first one, I think.
I agree. But I think the best line out of both was your dog having
like 23
numerous siblings and then a pet dog of its own. Like a dog with a pet dog is a funny image in my brain. Anyway, it's been a while since I've done a Mad Lib, but that was kind of fun.
It's been a while. It took us way too long to fill this out.
It's actually embarrassing how long it took us to fill out the Mad Libs, but that's a good thing we weren't really recording them because we'd be embarrassed. But let's talk some hockey. Here's what's on my radar, Redmond's radar. We call it Redmond and Rupper's radar next time you come on. That'll work. Obviously, we have to talk about Taylor Hall. I mean, that's the big story of the week. Traded to the Coyotes for a bunch of picks and prospects in return, which is what people would expect you get for Taylor Hall when his contract is expiring July 1st. I'll get your take, because I haven't actually talked to you about this. Just your thoughts on the placement for Hall and sort of what the Devils got back.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. I think this is a situation, and this is just my assumption, that process with Taylor Hall, he wasn't necessarily probably going to be signing an extension in season, like we saw with Mark Stone last year. I think this was a situation where, you know, everybody, when you're going to free agency, you want to be playing your best brand of hockey. You want your team to be playing meaningful games. You want to play in the playoffs. Well, the Arizona Coyotes are doing that. They're playing with great structure. They were in first place when the trade went down. He has an opportunity to hopefully get back to the playoffs again. And
he's only played 5 playoff games to this point.
Yeah.
So he's had like the smallest little taste of playoff hockey.
Yeah, and then it's exactly what Arizona needs. So I think it's a perfect fit. Listen, you're going to, I played in Arizona. It's beautiful. It's awesome when you go to the rink.
Great place.
It's phenomenal. So I think he's going to love it. It's a perfect fit.
Power play could be dangerous.
And it could be just what maybe Phil needs to get going a little bit too. Just someone to help shoulder it. Because those two guys, there's a lot of pressure on them because they are the studs on that team. So I think that'll work out well. As far as the return Jersey got, To be frank, I didn't really think that. I just think that when you have a guy that's expiring that most everybody knows is going to go to July 1st, I think the leverage is taken away from you. And I think that the longer it went on, some people think that, you know, if you wait closer to the deadline, you got more leverage. I don't think.
I actually agree with you. I think I disagree because you get closer, you know that the Devils become more desperate to deal him because all of a sudden you're getting closer to the idea that maybe you don't trade him and then you walk away with nothing.
My thoughts the same thing. So if you're waiting, say you're Ray Shiro and you're sitting there waiting, you have to almost hope. Everyone is going to have that same idea you just had, is that the Devils got to get rid of him.
Right? It's like if you know the other person's hand.
The thing you're rolling the dice on is you need basically a contending team that has a lot of pressure to win this year to be really struggling and desperate to give you the deal you want because we need Taylor Hall. You know what I mean? And what if that team's not there and present? So now you're going to give them away. So I thought the whole time, if they can ever get a first-round pick for him, even just a first-round pick, you got to move them and you got to move on. And so I like the return. Taking some chances.
First rounder, third rounder, a couple prospects.
The pressure's on the scouting staff.
A big defenseman too. I'm blanking on his name right now. Ball. He's like 6'7".
Yeah, and he's probably a couple years away. But you know, you never know what those guys are going to turn into. And now the pressure's on the scouting department to find, with these picks, you know, something moving forward.
I was on the air when the deal went down, and I asked EJ and Ken Danico this question, and they kind of both gave me the same answer. I kind of said, listen, we come into the season. Arizona's a team that's, you know, missed the playoffs the last couple of years, but they've been close to the playoffs. And so I said, you know, coming into the season, I think most people looked at the Coyotes as a playoff contender, not a Stanley Cup contender, obviously. This move to me says that the front office in Arizona believes this team can not just get to the playoffs, but can contend for a Stanley Cup. I mean, Taylor Hall is a big name player. And they both said, well, every team believes they can win the Stanley Cup. And I was like, oh, come on. That is garbage. That is not true. Not every team believes that they can win. Every team wants to win a Stanley Cup. But you can't. There's a reason that only so many teams were in the mix to try to acquire Taylor Hall. And I think if you're making a big move like this, especially on a rental player that could walk July 1st and go somewhere else, you're not just doing it to get into the playoffs. You're doing it to do some damage in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at, there's a very calculated decision on the Coyotes because when you look at the big question mark, probably the biggest question mark I have as far as the divisions this year is the Pacific. It's wide open.
Totally.
I mean, it's wide open. So Arizona, you know, Edmonton has been floating up there and been in first for a long time, and then I still think it's probably Vegas's division to lose. But then you've got San Jose struggling. You've got the two, California teams in.
Yeah.
Well, all three California teams in. So L.A. and Anaheim struggling. It's wide open. So if there's an opportunity for the Yotes to win this division or to definitely make the playoffs, it's now.
Yeah.
So go for it. But to go off what you're saying, I remember when I was playing, it was always trade deadline time. Not that we're there yet, but in the course of a season of trade, it was an opportunity for you to really get a litmus test on what management thinks of you.
Yeah.
Because they'll come down, they'll say, hey, guys, what's going to happen? It's got to find it in this group here. That does, we've heard that, you know. It kind of goes in one ear out the other. But when they make a move, a demonstrative move like this, you're sitting in there in the room, and you're looking at each other like, whoa, that's
like, whoa,
what they
boys,
think about
it's
us.
On.
Yeah,
like, it's
so
on.
I think it really build you up. Okay, think of the other side of it. Remember when St. Louis dealt Paul Stastny to Winnipeg?
Yep.
And I think they got a first-round pick in return.
Ago?
Yeah. So they were in the playoff picture at that time, and they trade Stastny. So if I'm in that locker room, I'm thinking, I don't think they think we can do something.
Yeah.
You know, like,
like why are we dealing a player away?
Yeah, very valuable player. We're probably going to lose him via free agency. But that's not the message. I mean, you could look at it one of two ways. You can come against management,
you know,
and be like, we'll show them.
It's kind of like Columbus last year, right? Like,
no,
they could have dealt those guys at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
People would have loved to get an Artemi Panarin at the deadline as a rental. But they hung on to them because they believed in the team, and they thought, we can actually make a run for something here.
Yeah, and I think that there's some carryover. That's a great example because this year, that team at different times, that's a very character-built team, and I don't know which way Columbus is going to go, but the fact that management showed that they're willing to do that we know what it means with the fans, for the fans, and what happened last year is historic in who they took down in the first round. But it also helps those players to know, hey, we do our job, we get rewarded. And one of the best things that GM Chyka said was, these guys earned that. They earned that right for us to go out and get, and that's what you want to
hear. It's a
really
good way of putting it.
They earned it. So they positioned themselves in a spot where the owner, management was like, we're going to do something. And then you also look at the standings. Man, it ain't going to get much better than this. Like, it's wide open here. We can win this division.
Oh, it's going to be so fun to watch this go down the rest of the season.
And makes you a fan of them, doesn't it?
Like, it does.
I know we're supposed to be just...
like them anyways. Like, we like good stories in the media, right?
But
like,
did you become a fan of the Blue Jackets?
Oh, big time. Are
I
you
did
kidding?
Too.
I loved
I was
it.
Like, I kept saying,
yo, Yarmo's a straight G. Like, I just kept saying that on the air because he made all of these moves to make his team better. And to just, he basically went, I'm all in. I'm all in, whatever happens. I know I'm going to lose Brett. I know I'm going to lose Bob. But, like, all in anyways.
Yeah. So,
and maybe
so
it's because he felt the guys deserved that shot.
When the fans, hopefully.
Ask Columbus what that playoff series win meant to them, hockey fans in Columbus.
Yeah.
Had never won a playoff series before.
And then those casual fans, not the casual fans, sorry, the fans that are, their team doesn't make the playoffs. Well, you know what? I was, like, saying that last year in playoffs. Hey, root for Columbus here. Because this is what you want. This is what we love seeing. We love seeing this Taylor Hall type move go down. So the same thing, if your team's struggling, I don't know, if you're Ottawa Senators fan, well, why don't you just be the Arizona Coyotes fan for a little bit this year?
We saw Taylor Hall in his debut last night with the Yotes against the Sharks. He assists on, I think it was the game-winning goal. And, you know, when a big player like Hall gets traded, you kind of talk mostly about him and what he's going to do for that team. But I also think he might be the rejuvenation that Phil Kessel needs, because Taylor Hall can make plays. He can make passes. And Phil Kessel is just a natural goal scorer. So that just seems like such a good fit, the two of them. And I think we might start to see Phil the Thrill doing what he does best.
Especially playing together on a line, trying that out early, because it's very difficult to check a whole line. You can check a player.
Yeah.
And when you're putting those two next to each other, you got to pick your poison. Who are we going to pay more attention to? I think at this, which is really tough because Phil had like 82 points last year.
Yeah, Phil's huge. I mean, how huge was he for Pittsburgh's cup wins,
they would not
right?
have like, won. I believe fully that they would not have won those two cups if it wasn't for Phil. He was
key
that piece. And, you know, but Taylor Hall, game planning, I think you're game planning for Taylor Hall a little bit more than Phil, because he's able to kind of accommodate other people in the way he plays the game. You know, it'll free up Phil a little bit.
And it'll free up some of the other players, too, because, you know, you think about the Clayton Kellers, and we've seen Connor Garland have some good stretches of hockey, Schmaltz some good stretches of hockey here. Like, when you have Kessel and Hall on a line together, I mean, the other team's best guys are going to be out there against them, trying to defend against those guys and sort of contain them. So maybe it makes things, competition-wise, a little bit easier on some of those younger players, too.
Yeah, no, it certainly does, and there's a trickle-down effect there. I mean, the fact that you can do this and you could stack this team where, I mean, you've got a Derek Stepan as your third-line center. I'm a huge Derek Stepan fan. He can do a lot of things. He's got big game in his blood.
Yeah.
That's a well-built hockey team when you can have that as be your third line center.
I'm excited. I'm actually so excited about the Arizona Coyotes. So we see Taylor Hall in the locker room after. I don't know if you saw this, but they gave him, I don't even know what to call it. It was like a furry hat of some kind, player of the game, welcoming into the team. And he kind of looks to the guy beside him. He's like, speech? And like, yeah, speech. And he attempts to give a speech just as a former player. Like, if you're in your first day with your new team, I don't know how many guys Taylor Hall knows on that roster from just being around hockey his whole life, but that's nerve-wracking. I can't imagine showing up for work one day. Like, my first day at NHL Network, if Bernstein had been like, oh, Jackie, give a speech, I would have been like, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know this room well enough. So kind of awkward spot.
Yeah, tough spot. I mean, you saw he was a little bit uncomfortable there, and it's fun. 100%. I got a good speech one. It's a little bit different, but this goes back to the Rangers
story.
Days.
Under torts.
Yeah, this was beautiful. So that year, we were, that was in 11-12.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah. We were going toe-to-toe with Vancouver for the President's Trophy. Vancouver ended up winning it, but we were rolling. And we just finished a big game. I don't remember. Maybe, I think, I want to say it was against Philly. And that was our rival that year. That was the Winter Classic. That was all right. The stuff, all the hype. So anyways, let's say it was a Saturday night at MSG. And we beat Philly or some big game. And Torts is the type of guy, you know, that keeps everybody down to earth.
Sure.
When things get too high, he might
That was a really polite way of saying it.
He might manufacture something. Like, Jackie, sure. If you came in here and you played for Torts and you got a little hop in your step and you're, yeah. He's going to find a way to just be like, hey, just give you a little chin check. Like, just make sure that you're grounded still. You know what I mean? That's how we did it.
Can't get too high. Can't get too low.
Can't get too low. And so he would always talk about it being a process. So we win this game, and the owner, Jim Dolan, comes down the locker room. And Torts is getting ready to talk to the team right after the game. We're all pumped. We're taking our gear off, hanging it up. And they're like, Mr. Dolan would like to speak to the guys. So he comes in, and Jim Dolan starts, he said something on the lines of, that away, boys. We're going to bring that Stanley Cup back to the city or something like that. I mean, we're like in February or January. Ooh. He says that, and everybody looks over at Torts, and Torts just puts his head back like this. Like, it's like everything he's trying to tell us. It's like we haven't arrived. And Jim Dolan. But anyway, so Jim Dolan's like, he says this, like, boys, we're going to bring the cup back to the city. And everyone's like, yeah, we're on upper high five.
Right.
Jim Dolan, like, we're just going, we're overreacting because we know it's driving Torts nuts. So what ends up happening, though, every game after that, whenever we see Dolan walk by the locker room, we're like, speech.
Right.
And he wants to come in, Torts is like, no. Like, he just took away everything that, you know, it's just funny when you get in that atmosphere. It's different, man. When you got to speak in front of 20 guys like that, as a new player, Taylor Hall, in that situation, it's
not easy. But that's
not
funny that you guys all just were like, oh, Torts is going to hate this.
So we're just calling for speeches from the owner every single time after.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
It was good.
I bet Torts had some pretty epic speeches, I would think.
He had some good ones.
Although he'd be the type of guy, though, that would just, like, pick his spots, probably.
Yeah, you know who had the speeches? Lou Lamoriello, when he came down the locker room.
Really?
It was intimidating, man. It was a pin can drop, and sometimes he'd go around for every single guy, and you know it's coming around you, and it's closer, it's getting. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm gonna throw up right now. Like, oh my gosh, get this over.
What would you say, like,
it's
one thing about each person, or like?
There's been times where he comes in, he just lay into each one, but he just speaks it. It'd be different if he was yelling. It would be all
right,
like,
but
it'd just be like, this is why you're not good enough right now. This is why you're not. And it's just like, oh. Anyways.
MG. I never even say it like that, but I'm just like stunned right now because I would just
be
you would be bracing yourself. What's Lou going to say to me? And it's almost worse. I almost rather someone yell at me than come over and calmly be like, listen, this is why you're not good right now. And I'm like, okay.
But the Halsey thing, for those that didn't see the video, when you check it out, the best is when you get a European up there and he gets player of the game and you give him whatever the situation, hard hat, that, you know, thing in Arizona. And they try so hard. They don't want to say the wrong thing. They're broken English. And it's the best because they'll be like, good game. And guys are like, you just try to bail them out
because
they feel right there. So it's all good.
Oh, yeah. When players whose first language isn't English or even just giving interviews, I admire all of them because I can't imagine having to give an interview in another language, not my first language. It would be so tough. All right. We have a huge guest on the show today. I'm super, super pumped for this. Linda Cohen, ESPN's one and only, joins the show. We are so excited to have you, Linda. How you doing?
Jackie, it is cool to talk to you. I watch you all the time. It took this long, but let's make this a habit. And hi, Ruffer. How are you?
Good, Linda. How about you?
Fabulous. I live here on the West Coast now in Los Angeles, and this New Yorker loves it. I don't think I'm going back.
It's getting cold here. I'm not going to lie. My car had a layer of ice on it yesterday when I woke up. It was not pleasant, so I'm jealous.
Yeah, I don't miss those days, Jackie. I remember working late night sports centers, you know, and you get out at 2-3 in the morning and there's no covered parking and, you know, I'm on my own and you're half asleep and you're like, and you have to take that little tiny, you know, Shell gas oil ice scraper that I had in my car and try to clear my car. And I don't miss that at all.
Oh, I have no doubts about that. Well, we were having our pre-show meeting earlier this morning, and Rupper was telling us about the first time he met you. He was like, guys, I was starstruck the first time I met her.
No, I don't know.
Is so cool.
I think I told you about it. Maybe not. But we were, I knew you were a huge hockey fan. Obviously, I knew that. But I didn't know you were so dialed in with the Rangers. So when I signed with the Rangers and we had the casino night, remember casino night?
And how can I forget it? The few times they actually invited me, and I loved it. Okay, continue your story.
So we were at casino night, and I remember I was walking around with, I think it was Michael Delzato, like Marty Baron or whatever, and all of a sudden I turn and I see you, and I go to them like, oh my gosh, is that Linda Cohn? And they're like, yeah, she's a big Ranger fan. She's, she's always around at the games, and, you know, she's a big fan. And I remember I was just like, it was just funny because I think in the hockey world, like, you know, there's times where, I don't know, you get, you know, I played with Sidney Crosby. Like, I don't get like that. But I watched. I watched SportsCenter so much as, you know, and just watching on the loop. And I'd watch you. I'd watch, you know, Steve Levy and, you know, Barry. And then you watch Bucci.
Whoever's still there when you were watching it. Yeah, they're probably all gone. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. So that was, and we always had your support. So it was fun. It was great. It was definitely a highlight playing with the Rangers that Linda Cohn was rooting for us.
Yeah, well, that means a lot to me. And, like, I just want to share with Jackie this, too, as well as you, Rupper. I think you know this. I grew up loving the Rangers, just obsessed, you know, filled the void, something to look forward to. You know, we don't have to go into my whole life story, but the point is this. I didn't lose it because it always made me feel good to have that. You know, when you have that comfort, something as a child, you know, whether your dad passed it on or whoever it was, you want to keep that in your life. And that's how I felt about the New York Rangers. So, Rupper, when you were still a Ranger and you had the best game of your life, I spent money out of my own pocket for me, four family members, and I think a couple of friends. We all went to Citizens Bank Park to see the outdoor game, Rangers Flyers, and it was, like, incredible. I mean, that was before outdoor games were like every other week, it seems, in the NHL now. You know what I mean? And Rupper, of course, you were the star of the game besides, you know, Henrik. But, you know, besides Hank with his robbing, that penalty, that bullshit call. Excuse me, am I allowed to curse on your podcast?
See, sure.
You can do whatever you want. I remember running into you, I think it was even after the game in the lobby of the hotel.
That's
you
one of the
so
classic
jacked.
Outdoor games, too, that
yes.
one.
Yes, I stayed at the hotel. And again, not a groupie, but I just love being around that. And my daughter, you know, who I passed on, now she's not as obsessed, but she still loves the Rangers. She came with me and her boyfriend at that time, and it was just so cool. And I remember we were sitting in the lobby, my brother, too, we were watching Giants-Cowboys. Tony Romo was a quarterback, and I love Eli Manning, and they one of the many upsets Eli Manning had of Tony Romo and the Cowboys. It was such a great atmosphere, and that's what makes hockey great, right? I mean, it's just such a community, and, you know, I met some amazing humans in that hotel lobby. I remember, like, JR was there. I remember Milbury was there. I remember, Mike Richter was there. I remember Ron Hextall
yeah,
was
yeah.
there. It was a very exciting hotel lobby in Philadelphia.
I have no doubts about that. I love, actually, something that you said a few minutes ago just about, you know, hockey filling a void for a lot of people. And I think that's why we love sports, right? Is that somewhere along the way, sports provided an outlet of some kind for us. And it's a little bit different for everyone. But I think it's an important thing because when I was a kid, I remember I was already playing hockey and I was into it because my dad was into it. And I was so close with my dad. But part of the reason I was so close with my dad was because I went through a phase when I was pretty young where, you know, some kids weren't being so nice to me. And I just clung to my hockey team and to my dad and to watching the Leafs every other night, you know, with my old man. So I think for a lot of people, there is some sort of connection along the way where it's like sports provided you with some form of comfort or an outlet to kind of distract you from something else.
Yeah, that is so great that you shared that, Jackie, because that sounds exactly how it was for me. Low self-esteem, I had thick glasses, I finally got contacts. I loved hockey so much, I wanted to play it. My mother took me to the only rink 45 minutes away that let girls play with boys back in the day.
Amazing.
A long time ago. And, you know, and I watched games with my dad, and it was really a family kind of thing. And, you know, I realized I was good at being a goalie. And it's the same kind of thing, Jack, and also brings you close, you know, to your dad if you're not close enough already. And it was just wonderful. We had season tickets to the Rangers. And where I lived on Long Island, way out east, it took 2 hours by train. So 1 year we had season tickets to the Rangers. I know, but we still did it. And
dedication.
I'll always remember that. I'll always remember those times. You know, my dad's no longer with us, but, you know, that's what it is. So anyway, everyone can relate to that, especially people listening to your podcast right now.
So you, we've seen you put the gear on before and and play net. So have you found a group to play with out there in L.A.? I'm
you
sure
know,
you had your
no
spots
excuse.
Here in New York.
Rupper, I have no excuse. My brother plays out here. He lives in Orange County. I live in L.A. There are groups here. I just haven't, you know, this thing called working 5 nights a week gets in the way.
I love that. You
it
know what?
Really gets in the way. I have all of my equipment, and I've updated it since, obviously, but all my equipment is sitting, like, in the garage in the corner, but it's there. And but my brother plays like once, twice a week where he is in Irvine, California. And, you know, I have no excuse. And I have invites from other areas. Honestly, Rupper, I know this is a bad excuse, Jackie. This is a bad excuse. But I just, you know, I don't want to fail.
No, that's fair,
like,
though. That's
I'm
fair.
I'm older now. I'm afraid of, like, it's not like, you know, it's goalie. I mean, I work out. You know, I go to my F45 circuit trainings 5 days a week. But something about putting on 30 pounds of pads and getting up and down, and, you know, I'm a little nervous, you know?
Oh, man, goalie is tough, too.
My eyesight isn't as great as it used to be. Oh, by the way.
You know, it's funny you say that because, like, I never tried to play goalie growing up. Goalie was the position where all three of us probably have experienced it, where you're playing street hockey. You ain't volunteering mm-hmm. to play goalie. Like,
no.
That's like the youngest kid. You throw him in the net and you just kind of, you take slap shots till he cries a little bit. Then you tell him how great he's doing. And, oh, just hang in there. And then you
yeah,
just try
you know
to keep
what?
Him
that
playing.
Yeah, you know what? That can bite you sometimes. So I remember being young, right? And I have a younger sister, 2 years younger than me. And she played hockey, too. And I remember playing in the basement and shooting pucks and whatever. And I would always make her go in the net so I could shoot. Well, as we got older, guess who the better hockey player was? My sister, and she used to be like, all those shots in the basement, and yet somehow I'm better than you. And I couldn't even argue with her because she was right. And I was like, man, this sucks.
My son tried it. I got pads, borrowed pads. He played out. He put the pads on, and he went out there, and I was just messing around with him, just going up and down like Linda was saying. He gets done. He's like, I'm like, how'd you like it? He's like, I really liked it a lot. It's really awesome. I'm like, do you want to try to stick with the goal? He's like, it's too hard.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there you go.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, Linda, we got to ask you about what's going on in the NHL right
yes.
now. You know, it's been such a fun almost first half of the season here. Lots of different storylines, lots of teams that have taken steps forward, teams that have taken steps backwards that maybe we didn't see coming. What's been your kind of personal favorite story so far this season?
All right, I was going to go negative on you because, you know, the physical
Hey, go negative. It's okay. I like it. Get feisty.
I'm shocked just the way the season has played out for the New Jersey Devils, right in your own backyard at times. You know, I have to admit it. I was one of those people that I liked the moves that were made in the offseason. I thought that was an instant playoff berth. I thought everyone would live happily ever after. And now, of course, Taylor Hall's in Arizona, which I love. I love that deal. I love what's going on. That's the happy story. I love what's going on with the Arizona Coyotes. You would have thought getting Kessel would be enough, and it's remarkable that even with Kessel, who hasn't put the puck in the net, even before getting Taylor Hall, they were in first place or teetering near first place in the Pacific. And, you know, so that's a good story. Another, so the Devils to me is shocking. Like, now they're going the other way. What's going to go on? P.K. Subban doesn't look the same. I don't know what's going on with that guy. It's just a disaster. So they're now rebuilding again. So we'll be interested to see what happens there moving forward. And also the San Jose Sharks and what's going on there. You know, they still have so much talent there. I know they lost a couple of key members of their team in the offseason. But, you know, it's not getting any better even after the coaching change. I know it's only been a week or whatever when we're talking right now, but that's a shocking development to me, what's going on there with the Sharks. So right off the top of my head, there are my two negatives. The Arizona is a positive. What always amazes me is I read something about the Penguins. I just love. I hated them when, of course, when I was growing up, when they're beating the Rangers all the time. But I, you know, Crosby's my arguably my favorite player. And when he comes back, they're going to be right there again. I mean, they're treading water with what they have with all their injuries. And I think that what's going on there in Pittsburgh is one of the best coaching jobs so far by Mike Sullivan.
I would agree with that. And you know, we're not really talking about it as much as maybe we should be in terms of the Pittsburgh Penguins, because the list of injuries for that team has been a massive one. I know you're a huge fan, Rupper, of Brian Rust and what he's provided for them.
He's been unbelievable. You know what, Linda, it's a great read by you there, because, I do some pre- and post-game with the Penguins, so I'm following them even more closely than the other teams. And I'll tell you what, dating back to, I would say, over the last 10 years, this is a little bit of a bold statement, because they've done a lot of damage in the last 10 years. They have 3 Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
This,
right,
to me, is
most fan bases would kill for that.
This team has the biggest ceiling, the highest ceiling of any of those teams. And that's saying that because they are defending finally. They're a good defending team. They're getting great goaltending by Tristan Jarry.
Yeah, he's been
and
great.
They're doing
that's
this.
Another interesting story.
They're doing this without Sid and Gino both playing. So that's a team, great call by you, that you got to look out for. Another team to look out for, and we're talking about those building. And I want to know what your take is here. Not to go back to the Rangers, but this is going to be, if not today, down the stretch here, it's going to be a very hot topic. Two teams that I coming in the season that I think have a bright, bright, bright future. They're going to run the table in each conference, respectively. Is in the West, it's going to be Colorado, who's already there.
Yep. Yeah.
And the New York Rangers in the East. And their future is so bright in the next 3 to 5 years. Maybe even as soon as next year. But here's the trigger question.
You know what's coming right now.
And
I'm going to remind you what I said like 2 years ago, but go ahead.
I'm not saying to do this because it's in the final decision's in his hands.
I feel like you're phracing this question to already brace yourself feedback you're going to get
because,
on Twitter when this airs.
Because is the best thing for the organization moving forward
to
start
getting that ball rolling
with
Trey and
Hank?
I'm cutting you off.
Yes, Linda.
Two years ago, and I think Ranger people got management. I won't say names. I don't know. They might have gotten mad at me. But 2 years ago, and I love Hank. Yeah, of course. Any Ranger
so
loves Hank. 2 years ago, I know you do. 2 years ago, I said several venues that I know he has a no trade. If he's always said, this is what bothered me. He had always said, I want to win a Stanley Cup. That's all that matters to me. Yet, he has a chance, I know he did, to leave New York within the past year or two. What I've heard, you know, if he would have put it out there, they would have dealt him. He does not. So if you're saying you want to win a Stanley Cup, you can't win a Stanley Cup with this Ranger team when you're 42. So I don't get it, Hank. It's like, I don't get it, Hank. What do you really want? So don't, I know you're not a liar. You know, I'm kind of have this make-believe conversation. So that's what really bothered me. If you say that, then you must mean it, and you have to face the facts.
This
team is a long way. It is a long way from, you know, maybe 3 years at the earliest. You know, hopefully they got to find some consistency this year. They probably won't make it this year. But I love their two Russian goalies. They got to bring the other guy up. And I heard some whispers that got me and some other Ranger fans really, and as a journalist, thinking it's a bad move. Do not trade Georgiev. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's been good. He's been good for them this year. And, you know, to go back to the Hank thing, I've always respected the whole, like, I don't want to be traded, I want to stay in New York. Like, I respect it, but I don't understand it. Because to me, I'm just like, but winning a Stanley Cup isn't that every hockey player's ultimate dream? So I see what you're saying. So I'm like, why? You're at the end of your, you know, tail end of your career-ish, and you were the type of goaltender that could go to a contender and win a Stanley Cup. I just can't believe that he doesn't want to. I respect that he wants to stay a Ranger and all that stuff. But I personally, if it was me in that situation, I'd be like, guys, I love you. I love everything that we've done here. But I want to go try to win a cup.
I would say outside of probably Sidney Crosby. There is not another player that would look completely foreign in another jersey than Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
Fair.
No, you're right. But I just want him to say now, Ruffer and Jackie, I just want him to say, like what Jackie just referred to, I want to stay a New York Ranger.
But don't you think by doing that, though?
I don't want to hear winning a Stanley Cup with the Rangers.
No, it makes sense.
BS.
But don't you think? don't you think though? This is no insider knowledge on this at all. Whenever I see Hank, I ain't talking about this with him. You know,
My thought
is, if he says that, then it's almost setting up as I'll do whatever you want me to do here. Hank is the fiercest of fierce competitors. So if he's going to table, I'm going to be here no matter what because I want to win a cup in New York.
Right.
They might be like, well, here's the situation. You're going to be backing up, and, you know, you might only play 20 games, 30 games. You know what I mean? And I don't know because he's such a competitor.
Yeah.
He's not ready to give that up, and he's still playing really good hockey right now. So I think when this team is at its stage to contend, I don't know where Hank's going to be. And you've got one proven goalie in Gurriev and another goalie in Shesterkin who everybody's super high on. That's a big asset in your favor moving forward, man. It's going to be really interesting how they handle this.
Yeah, and how Hank kind of handles it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how about the whole salary cap situation, though? With that contract, okay, so isn't that keeping the Rangers from getting other players?
Yeah.
Like, you know, right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Layers,
you're
so
right.
Many layers to the situation.
I just sit there and I'm not saying it in a way of, I'm just asking you, and I talked to you in this building with the people who are Ranger fans. Hank is New York. He's the king.
He's
the king of New York.
Yeah, he is.
It's very interesting because we see this in sports all the time where eventually you got to, I mean, you, you're very vocal about Eli. You're very vocal about Eli.
Elite Eli.
I love him so much. I feel like I'm part of the Manning family. They don't know that. But you know what I want? I want him to even though he's won two and he's been an MVP, if he feels he can still play, and he does, and I still think he can, God bless him, go to another team and lead that team to a Super Bowl, because I believe he can with the right pieces around him. Now, Hank, I just want him to hear, listen, I made this decision. I love being a New York Ranger more than the chance of – he's not going to say that because it puts a bad light on the current team that there's no way they can win a Stanley Cup if he says something like that. So I get that. But listen, I want him to be happy. And so if his happiness is staying a New York Ranger, okay. But I'm a Ranger fan, and Ranger fans are thinking, wow, that contract's weighing the team down, and Jeff Gorton can only do so much. And I'm with you, Rupper. He is the biggest competitor. That's all we hear about those who are really close to him. And can he handle playing 20, 25 games a year? And he's been an afterthought. If they do win a Stanley Cup with the other goaltenders, the Russian guys, is he okay with that? You know, it's just kind of like, you know, as an athlete, how do you handle that? Is your ego okay to, like, you're a backup? You're right. We do see these in other sports. It's just not the same as leading your team as a number one.
It's similar, because I think both these guys are Hall of Famers, Hank and Flower. It's similar to the Flower situation in Pittsburgh. The only difference is,
look at those Stanley Cups. I swear to you, the ones that Matt Murray won.
Yeah.
But the difference is that
Flower has at least his one cup.
Right.
By himself in 2009.
Yes. And it was amazing.
So he's
and
always going to be. So I understand what you're saying. Can you imagine? Like Richter got his cup, and then what would happen if Hank, the timing is just, it boggles my mind. It's like, no, I want this team to win a cup, but Hank's got to be a part of it, is like my thought.
Yeah,
like if he's gone and the two Russian goalies win, it's like, oh my gosh.
Weird.
He's still a Hall of Famer. I just love it. It's very interesting to talk about, and just want to get your take on that.
I love it because there's so many different layers to the equation, and I do think it's the type of situation that can change very quickly depending on what happens. So we'll see if Hank ever changes his mind, but he has stood strong in what he said so far the last couple of years. So we'll see if he changes his mind. And I wasn't planning on asking you this next question, Linda, but hearing you talk about the Rangers and about Hank and giving your opinion, you know, you're so fearless in that you know, you say what you think, and you're sort of fearless in the way that you approach sports. and I admire it as a broadcaster. So my question for you is, you know, how do you sort of balance, you know, wanting to get your opinion out there and saying what you really think without worrying about maybe making someone in some front office somewhere angry or, you know, upsetting a player that you then are trying to interview later? It's something I think about a lot because I want to be the type of person that isn't afraid to say what I think. But I always, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, am I going to piss someone off if I say this?
No, that's a great question, Jackie. And it really, I've wrestled with that all my career. And I'm not going to lie to you. I think it has hurt me in some capacity to even move up and go to certain other roles because of that. You know, because I said what I mean, and I don't really have a filter. And plus, my role, you know, over the years has not been analyst. It has been host, right? So, you know, the host is not supposed to have an opinion. Thank goodness in our world, and especially for young women like you, it has changed, and you can have an opinion now. It never was that way, you know, when I, you know, through the ranks when I was, and yet I still had an opinion, and I was still fiery and outspoken. I think that hurt me. So, but in the end, I've always been, you know, I think if I leaned a certain way, it was always athlete first. It was always player first. And when I ripped something, it was usually 9 times out of 10, the management and people making the decisions. And that's when I usually have gotten in trouble, you know, type of thing. But if there ever was a situation where I'm talking to a player, and there have been, where in the past maybe I opened my mouth and said something, but nothing, who knows who heard it or whatever, you know, I pour on the love like right away, which is really true, because as a fan, anyone who's listening knows this, and you guys know this because you were born fans, is that fans can also have like a love hate. You just wish that person was on your team. And that's why you say those things.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? So when you have the chance to shower them with compliments, I do. And I told you at the top of this, I love Sidney Crosby. He doesn't know how much I love him. I think he is the best in the league. I still do. I thank God I had a chance to cover him in one of those Stanley Cup runs, 2017, when they beat Nashville. I covered that whole run with the Penguins in the postseason, and I got to see what this guy was like in practice, in the locker room, and we all know what he's like on the ice in a big game. So, you know, it was just amazing. So, actually, when I look back, that's one of the most top 10 great things I've ever covered, is watching Sidney Crosby win a Stanley Cup.
Linda, I remember sending you, I reached out to you on Twitter because I was, when I started watching your In the Crease nightly show, I'm sitting there, I'm like, at the end of the night, there's some nights where maybe I'm working in Pittsburgh and I'm watching the one game, and then I have to work at the NHL Network the next day, and I'm like, I need to get caught up. I know I could go on there, and you can catch me up, and I can see it. So how did that come about, and talk about maybe how that goes, and I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's so easy. It's just, you know, you just have to, anyone has to just subscribe to ESPN Plus. By the way, there's a million different things on ESPN Plus, including live hockey, NHL games as well. Every night, ESPN Plus has one or two games a night. And it has my, you know, daily or night, whenever you want to see it, actually. I was going to say daily, nightly show. It's called In the Crease, and it's highlight-driven. It's usually me hosting it. If not, there'll be a couple other hosts that fill in for me. I can't work every night, and sometimes I work SportsCenter. And then sometimes Barry Melrose pops on, your good friends, your buddies, Barry Melrose, who both of you know quite well. And that's great. And you see every highlight, and they're extended highlights and with analysis and information. And, yeah, you know what, Rupper, if I were you and I needed a quick type of thing, but thorough, that's what I would watch because, you know, you just see all the important highlights and stuff, and you're not looking for it, right? Because in social media, we have to, like, find it and, okay, look on Twitter, right, who posted this, blah, blah, blah. In the Crease, it's all there. So, yeah, $4.99 a month, ESPN Plus, but it's really been a big success. It's, you know, I'm not just saying this because I'm a company person, but it's really been great. I mean, and I love it, and it's, I mean, who, you guys know this. How do you not love going to work and talking about hockey?
I know. So I still remind myself of that sometimes.
Yeah, right, Jackie?
Yeah.
You want to know the best thing about it, Linda? And I get asked this all the time when people are like, oh, so how do you like the transition from playing into doing what you're doing now? I'm like, God, I mean, what isn't there to love? I mean, I get to go and talk about a game. I give my opinion. And it doesn't even matter if I'm right.
I say it all the time.
It doesn't even matter if I'm right or wrong. And quite frankly, it's probably better if I'm wrong.
I say to EJ Raddick all the time, I'm like, you know, if my biggest stress in life is that, you know, my red hot pick the night before didn't come through, like, I think I got it pretty good. I think I'm pretty blessed.
How boring would you
You're
be
right.
if you got your pick right every night?
Oh, it'd be brutal.
We like it, because then we could be like, oh, Jackie, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, EJ can tease me. It's way better. It's almost better when I lose, honestly.
But I'll tell you, I'm very competitive. I'm the Hank competitive in my ESPN fantasy league. So
how are you doing? How's the team?
You know, I got off to a great start. You know who's carrying me? I'm in second place in my division. I'm only a game above 500. But the point is, who's carrying me? I'll tell you. Remarkably, when they play well, they really play well. Artemi Panarin.
Yeah.
Zibanejad. When he got his concussion, that killed me. That set me back. I had lost three in a row because he was so hot at the beginning of the year. But lately, coming on strong for me, back-to-back amazing games, Roman Josi.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Who's your goalies?
My goal. Oh, here's the secret. I don't know if it's just any league, ESPN league or whatever. I start out with John Gibson and Antti Raanta.
Oh.
I cut Gibson because when your goalie stinks and lets up four, it's a minus four. Let's say he lets up four goals. It's a minus four for your grand total. You know, I have great offense, minus four. Like Gibson was letting in three or four a night, you know, and barely winning. I love Gibson. He's one of my favorite goalies. But in fantasy, it wasn't working out, especially this year. And then I picked up Martin Jones because he had a nice little run about 3 weeks ago. And then he turned into Martin Jones, and I cut him.
Drop the hammer down, Linda. I love it.
I did. And the key is, so I hold on to our buddy Antti Raanta as a backup for Arizona, because he has played very well this year.
He has.
So, you know, when he has a bad game, it's usually lets up two goals and they lose, you know, 3-2 or so, 3-2 or so, you know, but anyway. So that's the thing. I only have one goalie because they're killing me. Goalies are killing me. Unless you have amazing goaltenders, you know, that don't let in a lot of goals, they go against your final score. So I hope that made sense.
But no, it did make sense. And I play fantasy hockey too, and I'm the type of person,
right.
I actually like having someone on my roster that I'm not like totally crazy about, so I have a lot of ad drop room. I don't have to think about it too hard. I'm like, I always have that one spot, and right now I'm actually rocking one goalie because my goalie situation has
Who
been.
You got?
Right now, I only have Koskinen, and I'm just picking up like spot starts, and I'm getting
disaster.
An extra forward in and racking up the points offensively because
that's
in
brilliant.
My league, I can win the week without winning all the goaltending categories, so I'm just going like all in on offense,
that's a good
hoping
point.
For the
good
best
strategy.
From my goaltenders. I've had like seven different goalies over the course of the year.
Waiver wire. Right.
It's a lot of work.
You two are cutthroat to the goalies, man. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Listen,
just dropping them left
stop
and right.
Stop the puck or get off my team. Like that's it.
It's just not working. But I know what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? I started looking the waiver. I picked up a guy I couldn't care less about, David Krejci of the Bruins, just as an ad because it could pick me up like, you know, 2 points every now and then.
And I like too, like my thing about having that, I'll just call it a flex spot, let's say. Like,
yes.
I like on Saturday, Sunday, I check out my categories and I'm like, ooh, I'm only behind by like four blocks. So I'll just pick up someone that you would never have on your team full time, but that blocks a ton of shots. Just add them in there for a couple games, try to win that category, and then say, see you later.
And then kick them to the curb.
Yeah, and then it's like, see you next time I need you. But listen, I'm the only girl in my league,
funny.
And I was in second. I just lost for the first time in a long time. I think I dropped down to fourth. Fourth out of 16 teams, I think. Anyway.
Oh, man. Well, congrats. Fun stuff.
I love talking to you, Linda. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We really had a great time. You're the best.
Anytime, guys. I love talking to you both. Finally get to talk and meet Jackie, who I love. And Rupper, you're always amazing.
Thank you, Linda.
Have
you
a
as well.
Wonderful holiday, whatever it is that you're getting up to for the holiday, and Happy New Year as well.
Same to you guys. Thanks, guys.
Man, she is so cool. I've never actually had a real conversation with her before. I've just watched her. I love her. That was great.
She is amazing. I did almost ask her or tell her I'll see her next year, but I didn't want her to think less of me.
It would have been an inside joke. She would have thought you were just seriously making that joke.
She would have thought I was normal, but I think it's abnormal, so I don't want her to think less of me. So I didn't say it. You said Happy New Year, and you looked at me, and I was like, should I say it?
I almost said see you next year just to rile you up. But then I was like, you know what? I don't want to deal with the wrath of Rupper coming off of this interview, so no. I'm just going to leave it.
So we handled it good. We didn't say it.
I think so. I think that was the right call because that would live forever.
No, exactly.
It would be recorded forever, and there would be people in the future that think Rupper is that guy
that
makes that joke.
Exactly.
All right. We've gone long because Linda was so great.
She was awesome.
So I'm going to give you some just rapid-fire holiday/hockey questions. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First up, if you had to guarantee one of these teams makes the playoffs by the end of the year, which team would you say? Nashville, Tampa, Toronto, or San Jose? All of them currently out of the playoffs.
Ooh,
guarantee. Like Mark Messier, you're guaranteeing
oh my gosh,
this team is going to make
those
the postseason.
Those are hard ones to choose from. I'm going to say San Jose.
Makes it?
Makes
because
it.
Of the division?
Because of the division.
Ah, reading your mind. Okay, okay. What's your favorite holiday movie?
Favorite holiday movie? I'm going to say Christmas Vacation. That's one
Lots
that I
of
can,
people say that.
That's one you could just have on loop. You could fall asleep. You could wake up. You could watch it. You could do anything.
Worst gift you've ever given? Like, have you ever found yourself in a spot where you're like, oh, man, I don't know what to... And you just get a bad gift for someone else?
Not necessarily... It's more the thought of where you're panicking and you don't have something. You just buy something. It's just like you're basically just buying crap just to say I did. So it's just the idea of just buying something to buy it.
Okay. Favorite holiday tradition?
Favorite holiday tradition is making Buckeyes. Making Buckeyes.
What's that?
You know what a Buckeye looks like.
Yes.
So making a Buckeye is, it's basically like peanut butter and confectionery sugar, a ton of confectionery sugar, rolled in balls and dipped in chocolate. So it looks like a Buckeye. So it's
that
good.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah, I'll bring in some. My kids and I make them, and they're
oh,
really good.
Oh, please bring some in. Those sound really, really
My grandmother good. Did that, and so my sister and I do it, and all of our cousins do it, and it's a kind of tradition.
They're called Buckeyes?
Buckeyes, yeah.
Okay, I like that. All right, I'm going to go back to hockey. Same question, but if you had to guarantee this team was not going to make the postseason, Nashville, Tampa, Toronto, you can't pick San Jose because you already used your guarantee for them to make it. So out of those three,
Nashville,
Tampa, Toronto.
Guarantee.
You're going to guarantee one of them doesn't make it.
Ooh, that's really
This is
hard.
Like life on the line scenario, right? Like we're forcing you to make this call. That's hard, eh?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But you know what's crazy? In all likelihood, one of those three is probably going to miss.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to probably lean more towards the two teams in the same division because maybe only one of them makes it. So your Leafs? I don't really feel that way, but if I have to pick.
Oh, my gosh. I would have went Nashville. But that's why the question is
the question. Yeah, I don't
know.
But that means I'm probably thinking more of Winnipeg and stuff like that. I don't know.
That's tough. That's a hard question. I won't lie. Okay. You mentioned the Buckeyes. We don't have Buckeyes here.
Yeah.
We do have, like, anybody that listened to the last podcast that Rupper was on, he talked about a snack that he loved growing up, and it was Wonder Bread, peanut butter, smooth specifically, and sweet pickles. And I said, I'm going to try this disgusting sounding sandwich. Now, these were made before we started recording, so the bread's a little crispy, hard, I don't know what to call it. And the pickles might be a little soggy, but you try first and tell me if it lives up to what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's sweet pickles, peanut butter, and Wonder Bread. Here we go.
Yeah, you get a little bit of the sweet and the salty. Like if you have a peanut butter sandwich or you have peanut butter and bananas, it's a little bit, you need to drink water or something with it because it's the peanut butter is overwhelming.
I got to take another bite. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I got
a
lot of crust in that bite.
Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, I mean, these, usually you use the pickles that are kind of in the, you know, sweet pickles are smaller, so they're just in full pickle form.
You know what?
And you cut them in half.
I thought that I was going to hate this.
It's not bad.
It's actually not bad.
Actually, sorry, I don't want to say it's not bad. I love it. That's why I eat it. I'm just saying for somebody, that's why I told you before, I said, hey, I'm not saying you're going to like love it because I don't know what your tastes are as far as food goes,
right.
But like you're not going to hate it.
No, I don't hate it. I actually don't mind it. I don't know if it's just the fact that I'm starving right now, but I thought it was going to be gross. This did not have nearly the payoff I thought it was going to.
The one subtlety that would be a little bit different though is if this wasn't the bread was sitting out for the show, so it's a little hard. If it was Wonder Bread, and I specifically use Wonder Bread because it's so soft. If you have it soft Wonder Bread, it could be even better. But it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's all right. It's all right.
You gonna tell people about it?
Well, people are going to listen to the podcast. Right. They're going to hear about
it. No, I know. I'm just saying.
I don't know if I'm going to brag about it.
Well, is this going to be part of your regime, your repertoire?
I'm not sure about that. Maybe if I'm short it's on like money, a, I might be like, you know what's cheap? I can get bread, peanut butter,
you know,
and pickles.
It's a small club, and we're looking for new people.
Listen,
all the time.
I will say, though, it actually is not bad. All right, this has been our last Puck Culture of 2019.
Yes.
We're going to wish everybody a happy holiday. If you want to try this sandwich and let us know what you think, I mean, we're all ears. Just hit us up on Twitter and give us your thoughts on anything podcast related. Use the hashtag Puck Culture. We will be back. We're going to take a bit of a break for the holiday, enjoy our families and all of the good stuff that comes with the holiday. But we will be back on January 3rd for our next episode. It is a Friday. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. And in the meantime, have a wonderful holiday. And we'll see you next year.
Oh, no. You did it. I thought we were going to...
I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. All just right. For your reaction.